Dr. Niall Muldoon has taken up his role as the new Children's Ombudsman this week. He succeeds Emily Logan. Dr. Muldoon previously worked in the Children's Ombudsman office as Director of Investigations. He's here in studio with us. You're very welcome and congratulations on your appointment.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
I suspect you're the only adult in the country where children aged between 7 and 18 played a major role in deciding if you were suitable for the job. What was that like?
That's correct. I mean, I think it was a great innovation. It was something that was brought in for the first ombudsman, and they repeated the system this time around, and it was nerve-wracking, to be honest, and I think it was the great credit to the young people who were involved. At the time of the interview, there was 11 of them, 4 or 5 of them asked me separate questions based on issues that they had concerns about, and they found that the issues were sort of fairly much cognizant of what goes on for lots of young people, things like bullying, difficulties with special needs assistance, that sort of area. And it really was an honour for me to be considered, that they chose me to be involved in this job now. And I think, they took a great role. They were involved in the job description, they were involved in the advertisement, and then they took the final role in relation to interviewing as well.
So involved with you every step of the way in deciding. You're
correct.
The man now, you're the voice of children. It's a daunting task.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, it's also a great challenge. I think there's a great opportunity here. I mean, following in the great work that was done by Emily Logan, I think there's been huge changes in the last 10 years that she was involved. And I think there's great opportunities now to make further changes.
And we've had the children's rights referendum, mm-hmm. the rights of children enshrined in the Constitution. Now we have the Children and Family Relationship Bill mm-hmm. Just published. We were just discussing it. How would you describe the significance of this piece of legislation?
I think it's a hugely important piece of work. I think it's an opportunity now to really cement the equal rights of all children, regardless of the family unit in which they're involved with, within the legislation of the land, and so that every child, regardless of the family situation they find themselves in, has the same level of protection. And I think that's a really positive step forward for this country.
But to the critics of that bill, who would say to you that in doing this, it deprives children of the right to a father and a mother.
I suppose what we look at is the focus of each individual child, and I think from our point of view, the rights of the individual child is crucial, so that children don't choose what family setting they find themselves in. So it's from our point of view, the fact that it will be equal for all children is the key element for us, and it's something we've been pushing for. And I think I haven't seen the bill yet, but it sounds like it's moving in the right direction, and something that will really change and cement the rights of all children as being equal.
When you were interviewed by those young people mm-hmm. for this job, what vision did you set out for the work you want to do?
Well, I think, as I say, there's been a lot of progress made in the last 10 years, and I suppose the priorities I want to put forward for the next short period of time is around bringing the big pieces of work over the line, like direct provision, remit, clarity for us from our point of view, and making sure that the young children and young people that are involved in
Are you in conflict on that one, Niall, at the moment? Because you'd like to have responsibility for direct provision, but you don't.
That's correct, yeah. I mean, I think we've
And the Minister was saying today, was he, that you won't have it.
I think there's an opportunity now with a new working group that's been set up by the Minister for Justice and the Junior Minister O'Riordan, led by Justice Breen McMahon, who is looking at the whole system, the whole international protection system, with direct provision as well. And we've submitted our point of view to that, and we would hope that creates a new opportunity to change and clarify our role. I mean, it's been well stated over the number of years that we've sought to clarify the remit so that we can take complaints and be on par with international best practice.
Do you get a lot of complaints in relation to direct provision, complaints that you're not able to take forward and that you're not able to act on?
I wouldn't call it a lot. We get a regular stream of complaints that we can do certain amounts with, and I think that's one of the frustrating parts, is that we could deal with, if there's a complaint from a direct provision system, we could deal with it if it relates to a social worker or mm-hmm. to something in relation to a hospital, those sorts of areas, but we can't deal with the direct provision centre staffing or any of the issues around that. And that's very frustrating, and it obviously doesn't put the child at the centre of the complaint, and it's something that we really have been pushing for the 10 years, and I think I hope that there's a fair wind to change that now, because we have been consistently criticised as a nation for having a system like that doesn't allow the Ombudsman to take the complaints that they should be taking. I mean, there's over 1,200 children that haven't got access to us in that regard.
1,200 children in mm-hmm. direct provision in mm-hmm. this country right now.
Yeah.
What else are you excluded from? Are you excluded from justice areas?
I mean, we look at the administration of the public services. I think the justice in relation to direct provision, it will be the final decision in relation to immigration. We have no issue with that. Our job is to look at the administration of any public service. The decisions are justice decisions, and we have no concern in that regard.
But are you involved, for example, or have you a right of involvement with children who would be in the justice system, who would be in the probationary system, who might be going before the courts and so on?
We can look at the administrative side, but not decisions of court. We also have, since 2012, had access to the children in detention. That remit was extended.
So your writ runs to that?
Writ runs to that, and we can look at all the children in relation to young people in Oberstown as well. So that sort of allows us, and that's one of the priorities we'd like to push, is to get all the children out of St. Patrick's Institution now. There's two or three regular basis. There's still children, young 17-year-olds who on remand are still being held there. There is our understanding is that should change by next month or the month after, but that's been consistently put back and put back. There's still 10 to 15 17-year-olds still being held in Wheatfield who are on sentence, and that's something again which has been promised for the last 2 or 3 years, and we'd just like to see that over the line. Our understanding is that should happen in the summertime.
Where will they go?
They go out to Oberstown. There's been a 50 million capital spend out there to create enough physical space and facilities for them. There's been a hiring of a lot of new staff out there. And again, from our point of view, it's a focus on rehabilitation out there and an opportunity for these young people to turn their lives around, as opposed to being held in a custodial sentencing type prison.
What would you say has been the detrimental effect of children of that age being held in an environment like St. Patrick's?
There's undoubtedly that it changes the way they see themselves. It changes the way they see the opportunities and the hope that might be, that you would hope would be with all young teenagers. Once you're sentenced into a place like that, a Victorian old style prison that isn't suitable for adults, never mind young people. And I think that was recognised for many years. The move to St. Patrick's was supposed to be an interim situation, but it lasted over 30 years. And that's why I want to make sure that this doesn't still happen in Wheatfield, where it was supposed to be an interim, but it's there over 12 months now. And we need to just make sure that closes off by moving all those young people out to Oberstown as soon as possible.
Is the Office of the Ombudsman, you're an independent office,
correct.
You still well funded? Have you been well funded?
The resources have been there, and I think I need to look at that when I get my feet under the table, yeah. As far as I can tell, it should be sufficient for now.
And are you free of interference?
Yes. That's correct. I mean, I think we are. It's an independent office, but there's always tensions between different areas and different elements as we investigate and look at situations. But I've had no concerns in that regard.
Just a final one. Have you a principal aim for the? Is it a 7-year term?
It's a 6-year term.
6-year term.
Yeah. I suppose from my point of view, I'd like to see sort of a child-friendly administration where the focus moves away from protecting the system, which happens in a lot of public services, to focusing on the individual child and how they can be as facilitated as best as possible. That's going to take a bit of time to turn around, but I'd hope that is possible.
As I say that, any involvement or any thoughts on the development of the children's hospital, the new children's hospital, promised now for a number of years?
I suppose it's something I haven't looked at in that regard recently, but it's something I hope it will be established as soon as possible. So that's, at the moment, I haven't looked at it too strongly.
We wish you well in your new job. Dr. Niall Muldoon, thank you very much for joining us this evening.